text this morning, but I think I'm going to have to carry some text with us as we study worship. A peculiar subject this morning about worship. You're really going to have to listen to capture it. We have read, we understand about the abundant life, right? Hello? Let me say it again. We have read and we understood that God wants us to have abundant life. And what you would think abundant life include? Thank you. Everything. But we also read in that same verse in John 10 that there's an enemy who do not want us to have what God wants us to have. And he will steal it from us. He will deceive us. Huh? He will put us in the valley of indecision that we don't do what God tells us to do. And so we need to know how to deal with him. And so if you would write this down, because I want you to try to capture after I begin to reveal this out of my spirit about embracing abundant worship. I never heard it before. When the Spirit of God said it to me, I said, what? Embracing. Now, abundant, that don't mean you want something. And it's not talking about money. It's not talking about, it's you abundantly praising him and worshiping him at all time. Our key text is going to reveal four major things that you can do to enhance your worship. But I want to look what Jesus was talking here. We started out on dealing with worship, and Jesus in the fourth chapter of John, I spoke 10 things to you that Jesus said about worship. In the fourth chapter and the 21st verse, Jesus said, "Now, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father." Worship, I like that term, worship the Father. Worship the Father. If you don't worship the Father, you're going to worship somebody else. If you don't worship your Father, you're going to worship your car, your house, something you are made to worship. You're going to worship your child. God give you a child, and instead of you worship him, you worship the child. Or you're going to worship your grandchild. You're made to worship. Tell the person next to you, you're made to worship. And if you don't worship God, you're going to find something else or somebody else to idolize. Michael Jordan, Cassius Clay, somebody, you know, going to get in your eyesight. They're going to be your idol, and you'll do anything to wear their shirt. Come on, this damn it. I'll do anything to wear God's shirt. Hallelujah. And so worship the Father is a great term you need to get. Worship the Father. I must always keep that in mind, that I must be a worship of the Father. Then he says, and this is verse 22, you know, some people are in this position. Jesus, the great master teacher, said, told a woman, said, "You worship not, you know not what." Well, in order to worship God, you have to know him. I said, in order to worship God, you have to know him. The reason it doesn't bother you to raise your hand, the reason you're not excited about it, you don't know him. Any person who know him, know he deserves my hand and my heart, my mouth, my lip, and my tongue. If you really know him, see. So it's the problem with a person who is not excited about worship is that they don't really know him. He deserves it. All the time. And when you get to the point where worship have overtaken your life, and when the first thing you read in the morning, you throw your hand up in the bed and say, "Lord, I thank you. You've been good to me," as the old sister would say, "you've been good to me all night long. And woke me up this morning in my right mind." Hallelujah. Yeah. So he said, you know, so we got to come to the point where we know why we worship. We know who we're worshiping. And we know that worship is appropriate at all times. Hold two fingers up if you believe what I'm saying. Yeah. Hallelujah. Some people call it the rabbit here. Some people call it peace. I just want to know if you're in here. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, or we know who we worship. for salvation is of the Jew. But the hour cometh, verse 23, you're there, wasn't it?
Yes.
But the hour cometh, and now is, when the false worshipers, just trying to get something, Lord. I just stopped by to get something. See, a true worshiper, I don't have to get nothing. You know what? If God don't do nothing else for me, He's already done enough. If God don't answer another prayer for me, I think in my lifetime God have blessed me so much, I owe Him to worship Him, even if He don't give me nothing else. So you got to come to that junction, because this is the church has become a gimme church. Lord, I need this. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want this. God said, you ever going to take time out? Because, watch this now, watch this. You listening? The only thing you can do for God is worship Him. So they said here, Scripture says, God don't want no shucking and jive. If you're going to worship Him, He wants you to be true. Amen. But the hour coming now is when the true worshiper, I think that hour is here now, the true worshiper shall worship the Father how? And what? Well, look at this last statement of verse 23. Are you available? I didn't hear none of y'all over here. For the Father seeketh such. What? Such what? Such whose? Such what? What that word such mean? Oh, to worship Him in spirit and truth. That's who He's looking for. Now, let me help you with that. John, turn to John 16. The Holy Spirit is calling that to my attention. Verse 13. I showed it to some ministers, and they went unglued. John 16, 13. Because the answer right there. If you're going to worship God in spirit and truth, you're going to have to be connected in partnership with the Holy Spirit who is spirit and truth. Are you connected? Are you seeing this? Read that 13th verse to me. Go to verse 14. Go to verse 15. Wow. Wow. Powerful, isn't it? And then we read in the 15th chapter of Matthew, we read about this woman who had a daughter vexed with a spirit and tried everything she knew how to get a hold of Jesus, and things wasn't working. And the Bible says, look at 15:25. She turned to worship. Now, the Lord cannot deny worship. He cannot. He can't. Worship. Worship moved the throne. Jesus can't sit down. People go to worship. Stephen was worshiping. Jesus got up. So worship is so powerful. I'm just trying to get you to see it because I'm about to take you in another territory today. Worship is so powerful. It's your heart, your hand, your mouth, your lips, and your tongue. It all got to be involved in worship, giving God the glory. Tell Him how good He has been to you. Tell Him how thankful you are. Are you following me? Now this atmosphere is pregnant with the presence of God. I'm telling you right now, I can sense the presence of God. And so you see that in 15:25. Then you go to the other text I was dealing with is, try to keep up with me if you can. Other text. Let me tell you this. Let me hit these 10 things quickly about which I'm going fast now because I've got my time. So these 10 things Jesus taught us about worship. Worship is not a place but a person. All right? So it's not where you are. is who you're dealing with, all right? Worship is not a place, it's a person. That person is God. And then the Bible says, you know, we talk about men ought to always pray. The Bible says, faint not. But men ought always to worship God. Okay? That's the only way. That abundant worship we're talking about is plenty, plenty, plenty worship. And then we recognize we're worshiping the Father. Then I just expounded on, you must become, Job said, acquaint thyself with him. You cannot worship who you do not know. And you must know that God created you to worship him. Then you want to bear the mark of being a true worshiper. Then we talk about worshiping the Father how? All right. Then we got the profound statement here, for the Father seeketh people to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm on number 9. I don't know what you're on, because I'm going to the next. And number 9, God is a spirit. That's why you got to worship him in spirit and truth. See, flesh can't get a hold of God. So they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, I want you to turn to the 34th Psalm. Psalm 34. And we're going to deal with this abundant worship where you can get in a place where you can worship God at all times. That's all right? Yes. I'm going to show you in the scripture where the Holy Spirit can help you do this. The psalmist brought his forth here. In Psalm 34, verse 1, look what this verse said. I will bless the Lord at all times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what nobody else is going to do. Now, what denotes that? That I denotes something there. Some of your friends not going to do it. Some of your relatives not going to do it. Even some of your church members not going to do it. But you have made your mind up. This is personal. And I can't talk for you. Remember Joshua said, I'm going to show you a scripture here. Joshua 24:15. Hold that. Go to Joshua 24:15. You got to see, you got to make a personal decision here. You can't be messing around with all these other people talking about, I guess so, maybe so, sometime. You got to make up your mind. This is personal. The Holy Spirit personally deal. Look at Joshua. That's 15:24, I think it is. Or 24:15. What it is? 24:15. Choose you today whom you're going to serve. 24:15, isn't it? And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you're going to worship. Whether the gods what your father served that was on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You cannot let nobody make this charge for you. You must force yourself to focus on God. You must force yourself every now and then when you're walking through your home to lift your hand and say, thank you. I don't care if all hell has broken out. You thank him anyway. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. He didn't, notice what he didn't say. I will bless the Lord in good times. See, there's no time that is not proper to bless the Lord. I'm going to show you why. I'm going to show you why in a few minutes. I'm going to show you why in a few minutes. I will bless the Lord at all time. Now, notice all time, underline all time, because we're talking about abundant worship here and abundant praise. I will bless the Lord at all time. Don't make no difference what happened. Because, matter of fact, when things look like they're going AWOL, that's a good time to praise him. What? That's a good time to say, Lord, I trust you. Yes. Anybody ever been there? Yes, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I bless you. And you know the person who don't understand, thank you, going out of your mind. Because they say, she don't know how much trouble she is. That's why I'm praying then. But if you don't know God, you don't know God can turn this thing around in a split second. Can I say this? I don't want to get in trouble with God. True worship almost control God. Now, I mean, he put himself in that position, you understand? But when a person really loves God and worshiping God and putting their heart out, it causes God. God cannot, that's what it is. I got it. God can't contain himself. If a man or woman in the midst of 35,000 who don't want worship, but worship him, that one man say, I've decided I'm going to worship him. If the 34,999 don't. His praise, second part of the verse, his praise, what he said? Share what? That's a word, see? So continuously, that's abundance, see? Continually be in my lips. What is that? Hebrews 13 and 15 or 15 and 13? Let's find it. 13 and 15, I believe. I'm going to let you read to me this morning. That's it, Hebrews 13:15. Huh? His praise shall continuously be upon my lips. Read Hebrews 13:15. Read it. Continually. How often?
Continually.
What did it say then?
That is the fruit of our lips given thanks to
him. Continuously. That's part of the revelation that God's trying to get to us about abundant worship. Abundant worship is our worship. I'll worship in a minute. I'll worship him at a drop of a hat. You better not give me a break. I'm about to worship him. I'll worship him right in your face. See? I'll worship him right in the midst of the aristocrats and the Democrats too and the Republicans too. I'll worship him. I worship him in the White House, in the outhouse. Yes, sir. I worship him. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to worship him. Nobody going to tell your neighbor, you're not going to stop me from worshiping God. You can cut up all you want. I'm still going to worship him. Matter of fact, the more you cut up, the more I'm going to worship him. Come on. I got to get somewhere. Now, watch verse 2 in Psalm. Go back to Psalm 34 now. Watch verse 2. Now, it begins with what? Two words. Do y'all have a Bible? What's the first two words in verse 2? My soul. Thank you. My soul. You ain't go for in school to know that. M-I mean my. My soul. So when I ask y'all something, answer me. What's the first two words?
My soul.
Because I'm trying to get something in you. I'm trying to get something on you. And I'm trying to get something for you. Because there's no reason you shouldn't have your breakthrough. No reason your life shouldn't be full of joy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Take your hand off of me, Satan.
Yes,
the book is right.
Right.
God's word cannot, will not, never have failed. Talk to me, somebody over here. See, we go through these religious acrobats, but the real God, when he stands up, something happens. Every time. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
That's who we have to know. We have to know that God can do anything I need him to do. Anytime, anywhere, in front of anybody. Said, I'd make your enemy your footstool. A lot of things we're fighting against. We don't need to fight it. We worship our way out of it. Lord, I bless your holy name. Your name is above every name. See, you worship your way out. Don't be praying about it. Just go ahead and give God the glory. You're worthy. Now the Spirit of God says, tell you, he's showing you the secret of victory.
I receive it. I receive it.
I might have to preach this later on. Worship is the secret of victory. But he says, just tell you, he's showing you the secret of victory every time. You're not asking for nothing. You're not complaining. You're just glorifying him. And all of a sudden, he do everything for you just because you call his name. All right, let's go. My emotion.
Yep, that's right.
I'm going to radically worship you. David was dancing. His wife got confused about who was in power, her or God. And she told David she was embarrassed. David said, wait a minute, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to praise his name. Sometimes people get embarrassed because you won't praise the Lord. You feel like running. You feel like jumping. You feel like shouting. And somebody sitting next to you, ain't got to do all that shit. Hold your peace. Let me praise the Lord. I'm going to do more than that tomorrow. Yeah, she told David, you've embarrassed me out there. You the king and losing your robe and all that. David said, woman, God, you ain't seen nothing yet. You sitting there enjoying all the amenities of God's blessing. Now you don't want me to praise him? I didn't get you in his house. God got you in his house. You better let me praise him. Sit down. I got to try. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. I wish somebody up here in a jam. I wish somebody in here didn't know what to do when they came here. I wish somebody drove here and said, my Lord, the man of God better say something today. I'm tired of this mess. I wish you up in here. Worship knocks the devil out with one blow. You don't have to swing at him again. Once you hit him with worship, he's out. Why? He can't worship him. You get off his turf. You get in worship, you out of the devil's territory. He can't, when a person go into worship, the devil can't come now. Wherever there's worship, he has to leave. Listen, I'm hearing this right now. Whenever there's worship, just like he was kicked out of heaven, worship creates a heavenly atmosphere, and he can't stay there. Somebody help me out. You understand what I'm saying? No, y'all not seeing this. When you began to worship God, every demon said, let's go. Why? They know that God seeketh such to worship him. They can't. And they know when somebody worship God, guess what? God is about to come on the scene. And I don't want to be here when he gets here. If your home not like you want it to be, go through every room with your hand in the air, giving glory to God. I tell you, every devil, every demon gonna leave your house. Woo! Woo! The devil can't stay in the presence of a worshiper. You heard what I said? He can stay in the presence of a prayer. He can stay in the presence of a person making confession. But when a person begins to glorify, magnify, and honor God, he can't stay there. The devil is dispositioned when one go to worship. he's disarmed. He can't stand where a praiser or a worshiper is. He become helpless. Sit down a minute. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel we're in a good position here. Huh? To win, man. To win. I believe in winning me. I believe in winning. God's word created a winning attitude in me. You feel that? I begin to tell you, my soul, my emotions, sometimes I get excited. Then my reasoning, God said, come, let us reason together. We'll get this thing straight. My blood can get it straight. Then I have to remember the bridges that God built for me and brought me across. God built some bridges for you nobody know about. God built them. Nobody, I ain't telling nobody. But God built some bridges for me. You know, one of my arteries got blocked. And God, I had a bypass without an operation. There are my witnesses right here. Two medical doctors. Is on. The thing got blocked, and the organ took off the other way, and bypassed it. You think I'm not going to praise you? You must be out of your mind. And if he did it for me, now, the first word I want you to get down. In this psalm, I'm going to come back to it. I don't believe I get to it today, but the word bless. Obviously, the word bless. Now, in the second verse is the word boast. I'm boasting in the Lord. I'm not boasting in what I can do, but I'm boasting in what he can do. So I'm just going to hold on to him. You see what I'm saying? Look what it says here. My soul shall make her what?
Boast.
What boast mean? Brag. Uplift. In the Lord. See, this part of worship. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Humble get blessed too. If you're not a stubborn person, if you hear somebody testifying of something God has done for them, it'll bless you. For it says the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy.
Yes, sir.
So when somebody testifies, they're prophesying over you. I said, when somebody testifying what Jesus have done for them, they are prophesying to you that he's going to do it for you. You got that? See, that's what testimony is for.
Yes, sir.
Testimony is to prophesy.
Right. Yeah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, sir.
When I told you about that bypass without operation, I was testifying the testimony of Jesus Christ, but it's the spirit of prophecy.
Yes,
you may not need a bypass, but you might need something else.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You might need a lung.
Yes.
You might need a kidney.
Yes, sir.
You might need a new heart.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, Lord, you know I'm not breathing too good.
Right.
You did that for Leroy. You did that for the apostle. I can't breathe too good. What?
Yes, sir.
What?
What?
You sit down and let a man prophesy over you and don't take your prophecy. You don't have to put up what the devil's trying to do in your life. I just prophesy God can do anything. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's sit down. Let's see if we get the foundation of this. I'm about to close. We're talking about abundant worship. We're talking about at all time. We're talking about contingency. Don't let none of your knucklehead friends make you ashamed of praising God. The anointing come on you to praise God. You're talking about, I'm going to wait till they leave. No, I'm going to praise them right in front of their face. I'd rather for them to leave than God to leave. Get on up the road, Jack. I'm about to praise it. My soul, my memory, my imagination, my will. See, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. See, if you come to church, you'll know. I'm talking about the five aspects of the soul. My soul, my emotion, my reasoning, my memory, my imagination, my will shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear there and be glad. Oh, verse 3. Look at here. There's another word. Oh, magnify the Lord with me.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right.
I'm not gonna let the rock cry out in my place. I'm not gonna let no frog cry in my place. I'm gonna praise him myself. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Now, sit down. Let me show you something right quick. The scripture says, the psalmist says, going back to verse 1, he said, bless the Lord at all times. You see that? Yes. What that mean to you? Bless the Lord at all times. Don't ever stop. But keep on. That's right. I heard somebody say, keep on. Bless the Lord at all times. But you see, if you don't know why you should bless him, it become a handicap to you, you see. But if you really knew what I'm about to tell you,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Then you'll be able to bless him on purpose. Turn to Psalm 103. I want to give you a reason to bless him. Maybe you could fit in this category of these blessings that he talks about. There's some things you have to know to bless the Lord at all times. Psalm 103, you there?
Yes,
it says, bless the Lord at all times, right?
Yes,
this praise to what?
Yes,
continue to be on my lips, right?
Yes,
you had Psalm 103?
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
I'm looking at you, girl. You had Psalm 103?
Yes,
all right, Psalm 103. Because here you need some blessing evidence. Talk it, bunnies, I feel good. Some blessing evidence. The spirit. You need some insight. You can't be around your religious leg talking about I'm praising God. You got to have revelation and a rhema and a live word from God running around in your heart like tic-tac-toe. You got to have God telling you, I've been good to you. Look what this psalmist says here in Psalm 103, first verse. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You see that? But I need a reason, Lord. So the psalmist sort of repeat himself. He got to look. He said, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Then he says something. This will cause you to continuously worship God when you forget not all of his benefit.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any benefits from the Lord?
Yes, sir.
See, you reverse the curse and rehearse the blessing. Write that down. Reverse the curse and rehearse the blessing. What I said? We're about to rehearse some blessing here now. See, praise and worship is about rehearsing the blessing, not rehearsing the curse. See, you don't go to God talking the problem.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. Come on, Apostle. Yes, sir.
You go to God thanking him for the solution. How many of y'all believe he got the solution?
Yes.
How many of y'all believe God can handle it? If you don't believe God can handle it, you're at the wrong church. Because I believe all of this. Now watch what he said. Watch what he said. The psalmist will repeat himself twice. He talking about the first voice. He says, I'm not going to half-heartedly worship God. I'm worshiping with all I got within me. David said, I'm praising with all my might. And then he says, now here, where he's going to kick off at. Begin to rehearse your benefits. Well, he got me up this morning.
Watch out,
clothe me in my right mind.
Watch out, man. Watch out, man.
I was still breathing. I look out of my eyes, I still can see. I reflect my arm and my hand was still working. Jesus. Do you have anything to worship him for? Throw both hands in the air and give him praise. Hallelujah. I heard my old heart still saying, kick, kick, kick. That means I'm alive. I was able to raise my arm and wash my face. Good God Almighty. I still had up and down motion when I brushed my teeth. I had enough sense to put my shoes on. It's just, these things mean so much, man. Just don't have God doing this for you. Watch what he says now. I got to close. Watch what he says. Watch what he said. Then he go to listen to these things. In verse 3, he goes, listen to these things. Now, I don't need no more in this first one. But I was going to hell. How many of y'all was going to hell? Y'all know? I can do this first one the rest of my life. You too. I don't need to go to the second one. Just this first one. Who forgiveth? See, I lost it right there. I lose it right there. See, I can't. See, I lose it right there because, see, I was a sinner. I don't know what you are. I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. Huh? I had bad habits that I needed somebody to take care of. I would drink every now and then, you know. Smoke every now and then, get a cigar and put in my mouth every now and then. I would run the street all night long till daybreak. But early one Sunday morning, John 3:16 got a hold of me. I found out that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I found out I could believe him in heaven.
Yes, sir.
That's 40 some years ago.
Yes, sir.
He didn't forgive some of my iniquity. Tell three people, the blood. We're talking about the blood now, the blood is what redeemed me. I live under his redeeming grace now. I live under his redeeming grace. Because of this, I got to praise him because he enabled me now I can live under his redeeming grace. You hear what I'm saying? Even though I mess up sometimes. Even though I miss the mark. You too? But that redeeming grace. I got to praise him. Huh? I got to say thank you, sir. I got to say, you're the most high God. I got to say, God, there's nobody else like you. I got to, man. I'm saved. How many of y'all saved? You got to, too, then. You got a reason to praise God. You got a reason to put on the side of the interstate because you can't hold the wheel no longer. And then one of your friends stopped by and said, what's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong with me, God. I just got to get a little praise on here now. Got a little praise bill up here. I'm stopped out of the interstate and dance. I'm not trying to draw no attention to myself. But man, the Lord was in the car. The car got too small. And you see, sit down. I'm going to close in 5 minutes. See, we got to understand this now. You see, that's why the church got to make a transition from tradition to reality. Because this Bible says he healeth all our diseases.
Amen.
That's what it says. Now, let me ask a question here. Anybody here ever been healed or anything? Let me ask a different way, because I don't know if y'all, anybody ever been sick and got well?
Yes.
or anybody got something happened to them they can't explain?
Yes.
There's a woman there. I know it. There's a woman right there. Woman right there. There's a woman right over there. There's a woman over there. There's a woman right here. He healed. That's something to worship. He healed all our diseases. Even though you might not feel it in your body now, but keep on worshiping him, and it got to happen. Are you following me? How much of our disease he healed?
Yes, sir.
How much is all?
Everything.
So there's nothing in my life that is incurable. You see what that next thing says? Who redeemeth my life from destruction. It's nothing the devil can shoot at me that can overcome the blood of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
How many of y'all believe if it wasn't for the Lord, you wouldn't be here today? Let me ask you something now. You don't have to answer this. How many of y'all have ever been in a crazy position?
Yeah.
All of us. Some crazy. When you're in the flesh, but you're going to get in a crazy position that you can get killed.
Yeah.
I've been in shootouts.
Yeah.
Behind the car, bam, boom, bam, bam. Start shooting, I shot back. I ain't know no better. You talk about redeeming grace. He redeemed my life from destruction. I think I ought to praise him, man. I remember coming to one of the camp meetings. I was driving on Highway 30, and a car pulled right out in front of me, and an 18-wheeler was on the other side. I cannot explain what that angel did that day. I don't know where that hole came from, because the truck right there and the car right in front of me. When I look up, I was on the other side coming to the meeting. Boy, but I was nervous. I said, Jesus, my flesh, I got flesh. Then what happened back there? I can't explain it. And that happened more than one time. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret now because I need to tell it to you. I'll tell you a secret. Any Christian that die ahead of time, it's a warning they miss. He'll tell you not to do this, or he'll tell you don't go there, or he'll tell you don't this, or don't eat this, or don't do that. Any Christian who die ahead of time missed the warning, because if not, God is a liar. See, I know we won't put all the responsibility on God, but no. See, you have to be listening. That's why we need to praise. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to worship. That's why we need to read the Bible. Because at any moment, God can give us a signal. See, this is not just you. This is not just to please the preacher. Or to go to heaven. This book is a guidebook. This book will reveal the enemy. Sometimes we get too anxious to do things, and the Lord calls something to break down. You got all the family ready to go on vacation, and the car been running fine. Now all of a sudden this car don't want to run. You all frustrated, upset. But there's a destiny the Lord don't want you to reach on time. So the next time you go to complaining about things because it didn't go your way, you better check yourself. God might be trying to make a delay. See, we get so, I got the clothes. That's it. We'll take up next Sunday. Take up next Sunday. Stand on your feet.